Hi, good Erev Shabbos. It's Yitzchak Wartell, and we are, believe it or not, up to Parshat Shmini. That's right. Hope everybody had an amazing, amazing Chag, amazing Pesach. It went by fairly quickly, and it's a little bit weird wrapping your head around, you know, kind of breaking yourself away from the Pesach mode and going into Shabbos. But anyway, here we are. I'm not sure how many of you are with. But before I start, I just wanted to mention we actually have two sponsors tonight. Sponsored in memory of, tonight's learning is sponsored in memory of Izzy Chaitz, Leiloi Nishmat Yisrael, Meir Ben Yochanan, Alva Shalom, and also Leiloi Nishmat Rabbi Yisrael, Moshe Ben Eliezer Halevi, Zichron Racha. So may their neshamas have an aliyah, and hopefully you all had an aliyah through the holiday of Pesach, not just from a account standpoint. So we are now in Yisru Chag. We are barely have time to, you know, maybe hopefully you've had some time on at least on Shmini, like on today, to go through the Parsha, right? So it's the Shmini of Pesach that goes into the Parsha that's called Shmini. That's not a coincidence. I would like to be able to give more thought to this, but here is what I have for now. This is actually some thoughts I had previously, even though I'd love to add to it at some point. But this week's Parsha does start off with the phrase, Yom HaShemini, on the eighth day. And this Parsha follows the seven-day inauguration of the Mishkan, by Tachanuk HaZabayit, and a multi-Parsha detailed description of the Mishkan's parts, as well as the Big Day Kahuna, which followed before. So, like, we had, you know, Vayakel, Pekudei, which were kind of like a repeat of Truma Tetzava, almost, not exactly, but very similar. I also had Kitisa in the middle. But they were kind of leading up to this point. They were describing everything that would be needed for building and constructing the Mishkan and constructing all the garments and then actually putting these things together and collecting everything and assembling everything. And ultimately now there was an inauguration and Tzav and everything was really great except for obviously what happened with Aaron and his sons. But I wanted to focus on something perhaps a little bit more positive, something a little bit different, even though obviously that merits a lot to talk about as well. But we had a lot of things leading into this week's Parsha. You could say we even had seven Parshiot leading into this week's Parsha, right, in a certain sense. I mean, not everyone dealt with it exactly, but you had Truma Tetzava. Kitisa was a little bit of a break, but it's still there. Vayakel Pekudei, so that's five. And then Vayikra and Tzav is seven. But in general, we know that what comes before eight, seven, right? So we had the 7 days, seven Yimei Meluim, seven seven inaugural days into the Mishkan, and in general, there's a concept Kabbalistically of seven going into eight. So we see that by Hanukkah, we see that certainly by Sukkot, probably more than any other time, going into Shemini Atzeret. But there's a concept of seven going into eight, where seven symbolizes nature's natural cycle, natural order of things, and eight is going above and beyond. And the Mishkan had a way to show that this seven of nature is really not truly nature, right? We see it as nature. We see it as a set of laws and a set of rules that follow a particular order, but it's really part of Hashem's running this world. Now, part of this is demonstrated by attaching an eighth component to the seventh to show that the eighth is really a continuation of the seventh. It's not a distinct entity, something which I've also spoken about before with the concept of Oz, or one and seven, seven and one, if you got my most recent written Torah. But the concept of seven going to eight is something which is very well understood. And eight mystically represents the notion of going beyond or going into the supernal and universal terms, going beyond that which is natural or at least observing things in a higher than natural state. Now, Parashat Shemini does often, like it does tonight, follow the Chag of Pesach, where we actually start the counting of 7 weeks, which culminate in a pinnacle or an eighth entity, if you will, of Shavuot, or the corresponding analogy of the Shemitah year, the Shemitah cycle is going into the Yovel year. There's a big parallel there. We'll talk more about that right before Shavuot. We have Shemini Atzeret, which I said is the quintessential, you know, probably the biggest example of seven going into eight, where it's a chag in its own right, but it's also kind of connected to Sukkot. We also have the seven lamps of the menorah. And now there, obviously, we have, you know, later on, we have the concept of Hanukkah, where we have a menorah of eight. But even in the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, which only had seven, there was still an eighth component, which you could either say was the Shechina that rested, or it was Kohen Gadol who lights it, or it was the aura of light around it, or, you know, there's a lot of possibilities for what the eighth may have been, where it was somewhat of a separate entity, but nevertheless still connected. There's countless other examples of seven going into eight, or seven having an eighth component, or seven having a tangential eighth aura around it. Rabbeinu Vachai points out that these instances of eight are incredibly abundant in the portions of the Torah adjacent to the pasuk of Bayom Hashmini, and he lists the following. He lists the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol, four of which were worn by regular Kohanim, four specifically for the Kohen Gadol, the eight components of the anointing oil, the eight badim present in the Mishkan, eight poles that represent the Mishkan, two for the Aron, two for the Shulchan, and two for each Mizbeach, so a total of eight. The song which the Levim sang had eight parts, right? You'll see sometimes as a Yitudot, whatever, Alashmini, right? So sometimes David and Tehillim will say that the term Alashmini refers to the Levim song, which had eight parts. And interestingly enough, when they sang it, they actually played a seven-stringed instrument, which the Gemara mentions that it will have eight strings when Mashiach comes, which is a whole other topic in of itself. Seven going into eight also has to do with the concept of the seven millennia, which is represented by the year 6,000, the times of Mashiach, going into the Olam Haba, which would be theoretically the eighth millennia, or year 7,000, even though it doesn't necessarily actually have to be a thousand-year period. So there's a lot of concept of seven going into eight, and eight obviously represents beyond or a greater whole or some kind of collective that goes beyond what would be seven. So why did Aaron and his son specifically have to be called on the eighth day if they were already called forth to be ready for all prior 7 days of the inauguration festival? The first 7 days, it was really Moshe doing things. And it's only afterwards, only on the eighth day, was it Aaron's turn to be the Kohen Gadol. And from then on, it would only be his lineage that would be doing it. The answer is that they had to prepare themselves to receive the new dimension. You had to go through all seven in order to reach the eight. It was a level so high that even Aaron could not mourn the death of his own children. It's a level of going beyond with a total absolute devotion to Hashem without any other distraction. And the Mishkan could only be founded in such a capacity. As we know, the functions of Mishkan are paralleled in Shabbos, such as the 39 Malachos. But Shabbos is also a day of higher reality. And many, many people teach, and I've said this time and time again, that Shabbos is not only the end of the previous week, but the beginning of the upcoming week. So it takes in the week going into it, and it gives us strength for the week going out, and therefore, Shabbos essentially functions in both. So you really actually, Shabbos in that sense counts as 2 days, which means there are really 8 days of the week, if you think about it that way. So therefore, if you include Shabbos as the beginning and end of a week, then you have Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Because the Shabbos are the ends of the week, and they help buffer, in a sense, each week, like to help the one before and the one after. So they're kind of like bookends. So therefore, each week, in a sense, is surrounded and by Shabbos. And therefore, we can essentially say that it is an eighth day, not necessarily just a seventh day. You could call it an eighth day even, because if you take the capacity of Shabbos and allow you to carry it beyond and take that which is in the natural order and you reflect upon it and realize that it's all coming from Hashem, and that Hashem made all 7 days of creation, and that everything in the world is Hashem, and that He's running everything. And we can take that remarkable ability, and we can use the strength of Shabbos to carry that eighth day, to go arise above and beyond, above what's naturally possible, and to think about how we are spiritually. And we can now take this also coming from the eighth day of Pesach, which was a last day right now. Normally, there's really only 7 days of Pesach. We have the eighth because we're in Chutz La'aretz. Obviously, if you're listening to this in Israel, you only had seven. But you still have the concept of Yisro Chag. And Yisro Chag, if you're in Israel, was today. And if you're not in Israel, then it's tonight and tomorrow, which is Yisro Chag, which is a ninth for us, but it really should be the eighth. This eighth is the concept of Yisro Chag. There's still some vestige of, you know, the 7 days of Pesach lingering. And this year, that transitions us into Shabbos. A little less so in Eretz Yisrael, but the concept is nevertheless still there. There's still kind of a bridge between Pesach and Shabbos. Pesach is also called Shabbos in a couple places, including by the concept of the Omer, Gomachoret Shabbos. So let's take the strength coming from Pesach, coming from the Parsha of Shemini, and let us carry this supernal ability to be able to lift ourselves above what naturally seems impossible and be able to raise ourselves to amazing spiritual heights. And we will soar and we will soar as we go through the coming weeks, ultimately, until we reach the pinnacle, the Shavuos, receiving of the Torah. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.